This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Spend some time with Cash here. He did speak to the media yesterday, also did a one-on-one with Meredith Marakovic on Yes, which is where I believe most of this audio comes from, regarding the injuries to their pitching staff. Of course, headlined by Gerrit Cole, who departed town surrounded by an ominous vibe in Cash's eyes.
You know, when he left here in Tampa, I fully expected Tommy John was coming.
It's like the boogeyman or something. You know, Tommy John was coming. He's coming for us.
He knows
yeah.
About
And those fears became reality after Cole's trip out
to
California.
They say it hurts right here. And they go, okay, we'll see you in about 17 months.
Essentially, yeah. Dr. Neil Elitrosh out there in California. And
He's going to be busy, by the way, not only Gerrit Cole, but you know, I'm assuming Tiger Woods is going to go to him with his.
No, Tiger's had it done yesterday.
Oh, really?
In Florida.
It was Florida.
Jeez.
Wow, you're right there, CeeLo.
Okay?
Fumble!
Jeez.
Oh. When did Tiger hurt his Achilles?
At yesterday, home. I guess.
No, he had the surgery done yesterday.
But it had to be hurt in the last TGL?
He played TGL last week. And they were yucking it up, having a grand old time. Let me see here in the statement. Yes, this morning, Dr. Charlton Stuckin of Hospital for Special Surgery in West Palm Beach.
He went to Stuckin.
Performed a minimally invasive Achilles tendon repair for a ruptured tendon.
Elitrosh has got to be pissed that he went to Stuckin.
Minimally invasive.
Is that like what Kirk Cousins had done, maybe? I don't know.
Minimally invasive.
I don't know.
If you have a rupture, it's not minimally
invasive. Yeah, that was an odd wording. But as I began to ramp up my own training and practice at home, I felt a sharp pain in my left Achilles, which was deemed to be ruptured. And then that's the part where he gets into the surgery that went down yesterday morning. So no timetable for his return. But
man, how many surgeries is that for him?
I believe
more than majors.
Four or five since January of 2021. So he's going to be 50 in December. I mean, his body basically has been put through the ringer for a variety of reasons.
Ever since that car wreck, man.
Huh? Yeah. But I mean,
the car wreck really ruined
a ton of back surgeries. It's not a good scene. So I don't know when we'll see him next, if at all, as far as the PGA Tour or competitive golf is concerned.
Ambassador time. I'll give him my sash. Be the ambassador.
I mean, he's almost there already.
He kind of is the ambassador for PGL.
Well, he owns it. So yeah, him and Rory.
And Steve Cohen.
Well, he owns a team, Steve Cohen. Does he own part of the whole league? Maybe. Probably. Steve Cohen owns a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of things. All right. So what else there with
Cashman?
Yeah, that's
Cashman? A bummer about Tiger. So Cole got the surgery done yesterday morning, but at the time Cashman spoke, still weren't sure which procedure he had done.
Once we get the reports of how it was, yes, an internal braces, straight Tommy John's possible. I think it just depends on what he sees when he's in there.
So I guess if they went in and found it wasn't terrible and it's internal brace, maybe it knocks off some of the recovery time, but it's going to be a while, so we'll have to see about that. Now Cashman acknowledged it's much harder to add a starter right now as opposed to in season and closer to the trade deadline, which isn't until July 31st. Plus they had a harder time bringing in guys for a look here in spring training based on the way their depth stacked up prior to all these injuries,
because we looked like we were so deep starting rotation wise so they non-roster invites were looking for opportunities, so they would like, no, I don't see how I can crack that staff. Well, I think if they had a chance to redo it, they'd look at our situation now and be like, oh, we're all in.
It is deflating that the Yankees are talking about having Carlos Carrasco potentially in their rotation to begin the year.
I mean, they're more than talking about it. I mean, it seems like that's the likely situation at this point. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know why I'm so hung up on this after I heard CeeLo say this morning, but like,
C-Mac,
sorry.
Oh, I was
C-Mac.
Like, what did I say now?
No, C-Mac driving in. Is that they're not going to move Max Fried to be the opening day starter. Like, after everything that happened to you with Gerrit Cole being out for the year and Marcus Stroman scrubbing his Instagram of all Yankees stuff, you give how many years? 8 years, a gazillion dollars to Max Fried, and you're still a chance you're throwing either Rodon or Marcus Stroman out there for opening day? It just seems horrible. And I know it's one game, but it's like, at least here's our big free agent signing on opening day.
Yeah.
Can you at least do that?
And the amazing thing, opening day is at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be the opening day starter? I mean, I'd be like, give me the ball.
I know. This is what I'm saying. It's not on the road.
Didn't we do this last year with Stroman?
Hey, we did. Skip, give me the ball, man. I got the ball. I'll take it from you.
This was with Stroman with the home opener, right? Wasn't it that?
Yeah, it was. It was Stroman with the home opener. Yeah. But didn't they start the season on the road?
Yes, that's what
it was.
It's
like a little different.
This is Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Right?
But we're talking about the first.
You got the Canyon of Heroes out there. You got all the ghosts of the great players of the past. They're all going to be there.
It's been a tough spring training, but Max Fried is huge signing.
For all we know, Max Fried was like, I'm game. And the Yanks are like, look, we can't afford any more injuries. So
I want to know that. Does Brian Cashman say that or
not? Not that I'm aware of.
Did Max Fried want the ball?
We'll have to.
This is important.
Or did the Yankees say to him, you're not pitching opening day because we need to keep you on your little schedule there so we protect you?
He wanted the ball, but they're not giving him the ball.
I want to know that.
I
think it's important to see what type of makeup we got here with this Max Fried. Can he handle New York?
Get Cashman or Booney on the phone. We just want to ask him one question.
Cash.
Wake him up.
We want to ask them one question. Did Max Fried want the ball for opening day on March 27th or not? And let's say it's raining on March 27th.
Oh, boy.
Then what?
And they can't play. Mm. And they move it to March 28th. Is that a day that he could pitch? What are we doing?
By the way, opening day Thursday at 3 p.m. That's a strange one, isn't it?
Well, it's on ESPN. So.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's like the last ESPN broadcast or something.
The last one ever?
They're going to shut it down?
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
I want to see if there's any further detail mentioned in the stories written about this.
Oh, you do your update. I'll check that out. How about that, CeeLo?
That sounds like a good idea.
Did you get Cash on the phone yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
another thing McMonagle
was on. How about Booney? Is he available?
Also not yet.
I mean, he does, you know, he seems to have a really good relationship with Sal and BT. Maybe they'll find out the answer.
Maybe they could text him and then he could text us.
Yes. Well, Max wanted the ball, but we decided, you know.
So this is, I found the headline. I'm going to read through the article here as long as it's not a Post Sports Plus. Narrowing down Yankees opening day starter choices with Max Fried unlikely to get the ball.
I was just on that. Now you're on it.
Okay. It doesn't really line up for him to do that, manager Aaron Boone said.
What do you mean it doesn't line up?
Well, they've got him on a schedule, Boomer.
Fried is scheduled to start Thursday and likely will start once more in the Grapefruit League, positioned to get the ball for game two of the season.
Mm.
Boone would not divulge the identity of his opening day starter. He expects to make the announcement soon. But the process of elimination hints that Carlos Rodon and Marcus Stroman are the candidates.
Wouldn't it be fitting if it's Stroman after all we went through with that?
Yeah, I know. You can't. You can't.
8 years, $218 million, and you can't pick up the ball and be the ace of the staff one day or opening day on the Yankees?
Let's not kill him yet.
What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Until we know more about what Max Fried is willing to do and not
I guess this is the Yankee way? Is that what it is now?
It's one out of 162, Boomer, if we really boil it down. You know?
But it really isn't.
But we want answers.
Yeah, I know.
This is opening day.
It's opening day at home, and then on top of it, you had such a miserable spring, and you lost. Like, Yankee fans would feel so much better if Max Fried went out there, gave you six shutout innings.
Sure would.
He'd be like, okay, we're going to be all right.
I think they would be happy with 4 1/3 shutout innings.
Probably.
And 65 pitches.
In late March in the opener, yeah.
God almighty.
Probably what you're looking at. Another thing McMonagle was on that you probably heard, Gio, he wants the Yankees spending this insurance money they're getting for Gerrit Cole. $27 million.
I actually didn't hear that.
Okay.
But okay.
Yeah. So they get, I guess, 75% of the salary, which is $27 million. But now here's the part where Boomer's going to say, "Well, how much were they paying in premium? So is it really $27 million? Are they going to reinvest all that?" So I know you know you're big on those numbers.
Yes,
but
I
they
am.
Are going to get some money back for Cole.
Oh, that's good. I'm so happy.
So McMonagle wants to see them use that to
acquire.
Didn't
they raise ticket prices this year?
Probably.
Right.
I mean, who
is
the money back who isn't raising
Yeah, the Mavericks
price,
did.
Right?
So that means everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, we're looking forward to hearing Dave Sims and Susan Waldman together for the first time as the new Yankees radio broadcast duo. I think that's coming up Friday here on The Fan. But Dave was here in studio with BT and Sal yesterday.
It's like to be with you guys. It's like to be back part of
Congrats,
The Fan. Congrats,
man. Welcome back home.
Amen, brother.
And as it turns out, probably psyched he wasn't still doing his most recent job as Mariners play-by-play man. Dangerous spring training booth out there in Arizona.
Now the set by Vargas. Here's the pitch. Swinging a foul.
Did it get you?
It got him.
Oh, man.
Did it get you?
Yeah.
That's a veteran play-by-play man, you know, Rick Riz, who took one right off the noggin. And there was enough immediate concern that his partner quickly did this.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll come back right after this.
Now, it was right in the middle of an inning. You know, he was calling.
Think he does that in a regular season?
I don't know.
Probably not, right?
But he was definitely
shaking.
Just drag
him right out of
there. You got to drag him out of there, and you got to take over. What are you going to do?
I kind of feel bad because I was kind of mocking this guy with Al this morning when we brought up this story because I just figured he froze and didn't want to do play-by-play, but I think he really was.
He got hit in the head with the ball.
Concerned. No. The partner that he didn't want, you know what I mean? But he was concerned for Rick Riz.
He should
and they
have
did actually have medical personnel, and I think the Mariners training staff come up into the booth to check him out. Thankfully, he was okay and was eventually able to continue the broadcast.
I just want to let you know I'm okay. I got a good size bump on my head, but I'm going to be okay. My mom always said I had a hard head, Gary, so it paid off today. I could not believe that ball got up here that quickly. It was coming at my face. Yeah. I turned, got me in the back of the head.
And apparently, it's a very small opening, so somehow that was able to slip through there and strike him.
You know when he went down and you heard those sounds, it kind of sounded like the Eddie Gargle sounds that he plays. Like if you listen back to that, he goes down to the ground.
Set by Vargas. Here's the pitch. Swinging a foul.
Did it get you? Do you hear it when he goes down?
Yeah.
Did it get you?
Glad he's okay.
That's like when Randy got hit in a ham hock.
Oh my god. Yeah, that sounded like a full peen hammer on a prosciutto.
Yeah.
Whack. It actually plugged into his ass.
Oh jeez.
We had to pop it out.
Of course this all hits home for us a little bit here in New York because it wasn't that long ago.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Yeah, well, John, the pro that he was, you know, finished out the call there and finished out that game no problem. But he was a little nimbler years ago back in the day in similar situations.
Here's the 1-2. Swung on, pop foul. Right under our booth, it banged against the little wall here, which is still standing, thank goodness. Susan cut to her right, I cut to my left.
Right, I know when to go under the table.
Well, the count remains 1-2.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I remember that now. I didn't remember it from the beginning part of that, but that, of course, famous Susan line, yeah. I do remember.
There's another one. The sound effect was even better.
Hey, swung on and popped foul right back here.
Bang!
And into our booth.
Boy.
I did a masterful job of ducking out of the way. Susan wins a vote for mayor by giving the ball to the crowd right in back of us, right in front of us.
Wow.
What a job Susan Waldman did.
Yeah. You know what? I think we may have an answer to our Max Fried question.
Okay.
Chris in Brooklyn. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer and Gio. Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? Chris? What's going on?
You know, big Yankee fan, so, you know, equally as frustrated, but I'm thinking Max may have some great ideas here, and maybe it's a Mercury retrograde day, and there's a reason why he doesn't want to start.
You know what, Chris?
Has the full season in mind, guys, you know, and he's not looking at the single day, but the greater picture of things, and maybe the stars just aren't aligning that day.
You know, great point. I hadn't thought of that. You know,
see, when is his birthday? His birthday's in January, so see a Sagittarius late January.
I'm late January. I'm an Aquarius.
What?
I'm the 24th.
He's the 18th.
So I would think Aquarius, right? Maybe I'm right on the, you said late January. That's middle January.
Middle January. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Aquarius dates.
He's Capricorn.
He is. January 20th starts Aquarius.
So he's, what
is
he?
I said Capricorn.
Capricorn.
He's a Capricorn.
I don't know what that means, but there you go.
It means he's a wuss.
No. Wussbag.
Wussbag.
Maybe Mars is in his retrograde.
Schlop face.
says this of Capricorns. They're said to prefer stability.
Oh.
And take time to trust.
Yep, there you go.
Well, there you go.
This doesn't is want
why we got to wait an extra day now.
Exactly.
Doesn't want the ball.
It is Capricorn.
So what happens? Let me ask you a question. So is he starting the next day, which would be 2 days later?
Right, because you get the off day built in for a rain out.
But if you get two rainouts, then is he starting?
These are all good questions.
I need answers. I mean, Yankee fans deserve answers.
Well, these are all questions that Booney or Cash can answer for you once Al gets them on the line.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As far as the Jets are concerned, I mean, they get a 26-year-old Justin Fields. Here's my take on that. It's a safe pick. It's exactly something that they haven't had in a long time, and that is a really athletic quarterback. There's no question that his running ability is as good as there is in the NFL, and they'll have to incorporate a lot of that into his game. He basically has an overall record of 14-30 in the NFC North. He was 3-12. However, two of those wins came against the Detroit Lions and, of course, Aaron Glenn.
Yeah,
so they
members
know,
of the offensive staff that were also there, too.
Right. I mean, like, they had to do something, and they have Tyrod Taylor there still. And I don't know, you know, they'll figure out which guy, you know, you would assume that Justin's going to be the starter on open day, but you just never know how these things work out. And it's going to be up to the Jets to put him in a situation where he can succeed. Now, if I had to give you the checks against Justin Fields, I would say the checks against him are decision making, how long it takes him to make a decision, and you can't wait for guys to be open. You have to throw them open in this league, and this is something that he has been incapable of doing since he's been an NFL quarterback. The strengths are he's got a cannon for an arm. He's an incredible athlete. I think he's a very likable player. In other words, the team will like him in the locker room, but there are going to be very frustrating moments for him. And I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans could tell you the same thing, because, you know, when they benched him, he was 4-2.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch of really good games in there, and he had some, you know, high passing games. In other words, a lot of completions, a lot of yards, and they won. And then all of a sudden, they buried him on the bench out of nowhere. And that concerns me. And I wonder why Pittsburgh would do that to him, and what were the internal situations or discussions about whatever he was missing or whatever was going on there. Because I looked at those numbers. I figured, okay. You know, I remember watching a couple of early games. You know, he threw for over 300 yards in one of those games. And I was thinking, you know, maybe he did find a second gear, and maybe he found a home. And I know the Steelers wanted him back, but, you know, the Steelers, with adding DK Metcalf, whoever their quarterback better be, and maybe it will be Russell Wilson, and he'll be reunited with his former teammate, they better get a guy back there that is controlling this team, because you got two hotheads at wide receiver.
Yeah, George Pickens and DK Metcalf. But yeah, Justin Fields is fine for right now. I mean, of all the guys out there, you mentioned his age first, which I think is a big part of this. And I don't love bringing in some of these older guys and the risk of injury. And anybody can get hurt at any age. But I do like the fact that Justin Fields is younger, and maybe, just maybe, the best football for him is ahead of him. I don't think anybody, though, is really feeling confident about Justin Fields being the answer for the next 5-6 years. And that's really what this regime is going to be defined by, is where are you getting that guy? So he's fine for a transition period. The team is not going to be very good. They may be able to be around 500 if things end up breaking their way. But this is really an organizational transition period.
I would say that if they get a new coach bounce, you know, if Aaron's able to give them a little bit more confidence, treat them a little bit differently, give them a little bit more competitive desire and fight, then maybe just like kind of like what Brian Daboll did for the Giants. I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be close to making the playoffs, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pick in the top five next year's draft. And if they did, that would be the expectation. If they didn't, then that would be kind of a stunner that they played better than 500 football. Maybe they end up 9-8. I don't, you know, we still have to see how the rest of the roster is going to fill out. And then when you think about like what Buffalo just did, what New England just did within their own division, you know, those two teams, and I think New England just absolutely hit it out of the park in terms of free agency. Now, you can't really build your team totally with free agency, but for what the New England Patriots needed and what Mike Vrabel wanted. He's building a team in his vision, which is going to be defense first, and then let Josh McDaniels figure out how to make Drake May into the next Tom Brady.
Yeah, and there's been examples of guys that I didn't think were going to be very good at all after they started off in places that kind of put them through the NFL meat grinder. And Sam Darnold ended up having a season last year that got him $100 million from the Seahawks. Geno Smith, who gets traded to the Raiders, he was another guy who had a career resurgence because he ended up in the right place. So, I mean, I think that there's like a 10% chance that Justin Fields turns into the next one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean.
But like Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to do that for them for very long. Kirk Cousins wasn't going to do that for them. You know, Russell Wilson wasn't going to do that for them. So as far as the guys that were out there, I mean, I'm not thrilled about Justin Fields. I think we're going to see a lot of bad football, a lot of bad throws, a lot of frustrating third and 12s where he's not going to convert.
What are the Jets supposed to do?
I mean, this is what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it fits exactly what they should be doing. I think everybody should feel decently about it. But, you know, accuracy issues, late on the throw issues, all those little things that, you know, that befuddle quarterbacks and coaches and really make you wonder, you know, how a guy like this, you know, ended up as a first-round pick. Just because a team had to reach, a team needed a player, and it didn't work out. And that's the way the Bears feel about Justin Fields. A little shocking that Pittsburgh didn't want him, but I guess they didn't want to go to the number that the Jets went to, and the Jets were desperate. They had to have an alternative to Tyrod Taylor just in case. And like I said, for Jet fans, this would be something that they haven't seen. This is going to be a quarterback that is going to run. He is going to be running probably somewhere between 7 to 10 times a game.
Yeah.
That's who he is. That's his game. And it's going to be up to the Jets to really kind of just manufacture their offense around his skill set. If you are a wide receiver and you are Garrett Wilson.
Well, he knows all about it.
You ain't going to be so happy.
Yeah, but I mean.
I mean, I'm just telling you, it's not.
He's played with them before, so he knows what he's getting into.
I know. And hopefully they can rekindle that thing that they had at Ohio State. But I just, you know, he knows. He knows what's going on. But in the NFL, it's different. You start throwing the ball over the heads of wide receivers, they get upset.
So the next wave really depends on Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Daniel Jones. And it's funny how.
And Kirk Cousins right now, at least as far as we know, is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Atlanta has said they want to keep him on the roster and they want him to be the backup quarterback to Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, so where those guys go, I mean, it feels like that Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers is going to happen. That's what that feels like. So my prediction is that Aaron Rodgers goes to the Steelers, Russell Wilson ends up here with the Giants being the bridge quarterback to the guy that they draft, and Daniel Jones ends up in Minnesota. I think he starts the season as the starting quarterback in Minnesota, and then we'll see what happens with J.J. McCarthy's health and maturity and all those things.
Two things that really piqued, you know, my incredible interest about what happened with these quarterbacks is, number one, Geno Smith was offered a contract extension by Seattle. He said no because I think he knew and his agent knew that the Raiders wanted him, because they want to reunite him with Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll wants a veteran quarterback that he knows. So he essentially forces a trade by saying no to the contract extension that Seattle gave him. He goes and gets traded for a third-round pick to Seattle. So Seattle gets a third-round pick. They get, I believe, a better quarterback than they had. And they paid that quarterback less money. He's younger. And had a great game against Seattle in Seattle last year.
He did.
So Seattle is a huge winner, I think, in this situation. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to break through with Sam Darnold, you know, that, you know, I don't know. We'll wait and see. I think we saw what we saw with Sam Darnold two of those last three games of the regular season, one in the playoffs. It's just a better move by Seattle. And for the Raiders, it's an okay move, and they're going to end up giving him a contract extension, Geno Smith. And Geno Smith is one of these guys that just hangs around, makes a ton of money, and I don't necessarily know that that's going to move the needle for the Raiders in that division.
Yeah, and I can't believe it was actually a third-round pick, too. That seemed very high for a 35-year-old quarterback. It was a strange one, but he is there with his coach, and Geno Smith's probably happy in the sense that not only is he reunited with Pete Carroll, but they also traded away DK Metcalf to the Steelers, and that was going to be a big loss for him if he stayed in Seattle. So I mentioned Russell Wilson to the Giants. You gave a little bit of an oof there for that.
I mean, it's just going to be another...
I mean, I don't know where else they go, right?
Here's the thing. Russell was great when he was younger, and he was able to create because of his size and everything. This will be his fourth team if he comes here. And I'm just, it's Moonball City, which is fine, but he's not going to be able to run around all over the place. I don't know what else the alternatives are.
It's Aaron Rodgers, if he decides he wants to be here. But
exactly. He may, because he still has his house in New Jersey. I don't think he sold it yet.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
They have put in a ton of money into that defense.
They're trying, and you got to hope that some of their draft picks, like Kayvon Thibodeau, actually wakes up and lives up to his draft status.
Yeah, and
you never know, that may happen this year.
Could. Odds are not great, but it could.
Okay.
I mean, generally those guys, those edge rushers, they come into the league and they make an impact right away. They don't.
You know, they asked him about the Giants picking up his fifth-year option. He goes, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I mean, he's very aware of what he has not become yet.
Yeah. Okay, good. So hopefully, you know, with the contract stuff on the line, we'll come out there and be a little bit better than he has been, or a lot better than he has been.
They just need to, they honestly need to stay healthy, and they somehow have to find this competitive fire that has been missing from this franchise.
Well, I mean, it would help if they had a quarterback who had it.
That's true.
I mean,
and what's left to choose from is not much.
No, it isn't. I mean, I know Russell Wilson cares about winning and losing, but we know he's a different type of guy. You know, he's not really like your Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, not wired in that way. I mean, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers can be at times wired in that way, but he's still also a different, complicated fella, as we always say. But yeah, I mean, there's not a ton out there. You got to hope that the guy that you draft is that guy.
Yeah, I guess we'll know more tomorrow when the teams start releasing players and there's a second wave of free agency.
Yep.
And that's where Aaron Rodgers will become a free agent. And I'm sure his agent is representing other players that have been already signed with other teams. And that doesn't mean that that agent and that GM can't have a conversation.
Yeah, and it is interesting. I mean, if you're looking at this from afar and you say, you let Xavier McKinney go last offseason, but then you went and signed the most expensive safety in the market this offseason.
It's a strange thing. You know, it's just a weird, like, you hope that these signings turn out. You hope that your draft picks turn out. I mean, and it is legitimately a 32-team crapshoot when it comes to these players. You know that.
Well, not as much in free agency as the draft. I mean, you've got real live NFL tape on these guys.
Just,
you know?
Just for 1 minute, and I don't know if this is going to happen, but if those first two teams take quarterbacks, the Giants have got to take Abdul Carter. Or do you take Travis Hunter?
I mean, I would. What is Travis Hunter playing? Is he playing both, or what is he doing?
I think he's gonna play defense first and maybe some offensive packages. But I would think you'd get him here and you would teach him the defense. So, I mean, you're going to get a player that is going to start for you.
I would probably take Travis Hunter just because of this injury stuff with Abdul Carter. I don't love that. But I don't know. I don't think can you really go wrong? If both these guys are healthy, I don't know if you can go wrong with either one of them.
But you can see what the Giants are doing in free agency.
And building up the defense.
Exactly. So they're going to have one or two defensive starters possibly sitting there. Or Mason Graham, the other one.
Yeah.
There'll be one of those three players will be sitting there for the Giants to take as opposed to a young quarterback, depending who they sign as their quarterback.
I mean, but they're going to need to build up this offense a little bit too. I mean, they're going to...
I think they, you know, again, they did build up the offensive line last offseason. And Illuminor basically said, look, we were good when we had our starting quarterback back there and we were healthy.
Yeah. Well, starting left tackle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not starting quarterback.
I mean, starting left tackle, yeah. Yes.
And Andrew Thomas.
So I believe that they think they do have a good offensive line. They're gonna have their choice at immediate starters. Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, and Will Campbell.
Okay.
Or do you take a flyer on one of these quarterbacks that maybe will learn?
If we're picking third a quarterback, it's not taking a flyer. That's sinking your teeth into your next dude. That's what that is.
I don't...
Taking a flyer is a six-round pick.
It's hard to say what they really, truly think of these quarterbacks, but I kind of see... With the attention that they were trying to give to the Matthew Stafford trade, makes me think that if they would have gotten Matthew or if they get Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if Aaron's going to be worth 2 years.
No, no way. Nope. I mean, he may, if there's a couple of teams that want him, there's two teams that want him, might be able to squeeze out a second year, but I'm not giving him 2 years. No way. You know, I would almost.
They are really in a bind.
Well, yeah.
I guess they're figuring out, let's see if we can get our defense fixed, run the ball, maybe play with Russell Wilson and draft one of these quarterbacks. But, man, you could draft one of these starting defensive players that would be an immediate upgrade to what you have.
I would almost love for them to trade up to the number one overall pick, the meaning that they love that guy, they're going to get that guy. I'd almost want to see that because right now it doesn't feel like that.
Told you, that was the mistake that Carolina made when they traded up to that number one pick and they selected Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston had the easy pick. The pick was made for them. It was going to be C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. I mean, Bryce Young looked a little bit better at the end of last year, but obviously C.J. Stroud, back-to-back playoff years.
And that's why having the number one pick, you're basically declaring this is the best player at this position that we are taking.
Well, last year, the second overall pick ended up being better than the first overall pick, too.
True.
Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Jim in Ortley Beach. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Longtime listener, fan of your show. Okay, so the quarterback situation. Here's how Daboll could kind of save his job. And I know that you're throwing a lot of names around. But if he could ever straighten out Jameis Winston, who would come real cheap... And the guy is a little bit of a head case, but it could reestablish Daboll's, you know, quarterback guru status. So I think it's a gamble, but it's worth taking.
You know, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun for us to talk about because there'd be a lot of things going haywire. There'd be some good stuff, but there'd be haywire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he says a lot of crazy stuff. He's fun. He plays fun. I mean, he throws the ball down the field, reckless abandon, and a lot of it turns into interceptions. But, yeah, I mean, I would take Jameis over a bunch of these guys. Like, I would take Jameis over Carson Wentz. I'd take Jameis probably over Russell Wilson if I'm drafted a guy, you know, that's coming in. But then again, you know, who do you want mentoring the guy?
See, this is the...
This is the crap the blender.
It's a real conundrum for the Giants is what it is. It is a real... Real difficult kind of situation, you know, and that's, I just think that, boy, whoever their veteran quarterback is, now I know they have Tommy DeVito on the team, but yeah. Whoever their veteran quarterback is, Oh, God. I mean, he's got to be protected first and foremost.
Let's go to John calling from Staten Island. What's going on, John?
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Thank you for taking my call. And I think, Boomer, you're right on. And I think they should take Will Campbell, solidify the offensive line even more, right? I said go get Russell Wilson. And I know it's not the sexy pick, but I feel like he can handle New York's media and stuff like that. He's had hard times at Denver, handled that, went to the Steelers. He wasn't perfect, but he was decent. So I think he can handle the media as far as specifically in New York. And I think you just play defense and possession football. And that's the way you're going to win games, honestly. And you're not going to be spectacular. You have neighbors who can win one-on-ones and things like that. They have a couple offensive weapons, so they're not there on offense. But I think if you slow it down, run the ball, play action passes, play good defense, that's the main thing. And I think they're trying to do that now. I actually agree with you guys. McKinney should have been re-signed. He was fantastic. And I think he made an all-pro or a pro bowl.
He made all-pro.
Right. Right.
I think we're kind of in agreement. The big question is who is their veteran quarterback going to be?
Oh, yeah, he's saying Russell Wilson. I mean,
the one thing about Russell, I'll say, there's no controversy. He's not controversial. He's not going to be going on different TV shows and saying anything that is, you know, going to light a fire under any of us. We're not going to dispute anything that he says. It's just the reputation he has is that there's a disingenuine type of personality that is associated.
Yeah, right.
That's all. That's the only thing. Like, he's a little bit, I don't know, is the word goofy?
No, the word isn't goofy.
It's just disingenuous, it comes off that way. He tries too hard to be pleasing to everybody, which I could think of worse situations.
Yeah, he's just not, he's not the guy that if you're sitting around going, man, I want to go out and get a beer and a cheeseburger, you're going through your phone, he's the last guy you're
texting. I will never forget this conversation I had with Pete Carroll, who basically gave me an inside look at what the Seattle Seahawks were going through when he got out there, he and John Schneider, and how he really wanted Russell Wilson in the worst way. He met Russell Wilson and fell in love with him immediately and said, I want this guy to be my quarterback. And you remember, he showed up as a rookie. You know, he was a really great baseball player. I think he was drafted in the MLB, and he went to Wisconsin from NC State, I believe. And all of a sudden, like, Pete Carroll said, this is my guy. And Pete was right on. And that they took him in the third round. And Pete was trying to get him to get picked earlier because he didn't want to lose him.
So I got a couple of things we're going to get to non-sports in a minute. But just quickly on the baseball, because it does warrant a couple of minutes. We've got opening day less than 2 weeks away now with the Mets and the Yankees. I forget what these games are. The Yankees are playing the Brewers. I remember that.
Who's the opening day starter for the Yankees, by the way? Do you know?
Should be Max Fried.
No, it's not going to be him.
Not going to be Max Fried.
No, that would take him off his schedule.
Oh, come on. We're doing that again?
Oh, that's what they said. I didn't say that.
I just assumed it would be Max Fried. Okay,
so
whatever.
You're not paying attention.
I don't know.
They said that.
Well, I wasn't here for a couple days, so I was not paying attention.
If it rains on opening day,
then what do we do?
Then is he back on schedule?
And it was Marcus Stroman that didn't want the home opener last year because it was going to throw him off schedule.
Yeah, I don't get this, man.
Well, this is this new day and age of baseball and the baseball players. It's sickening, to be quite honest. But when they make the money they make, they can do what they want. My question to you was going to be about the Mets, though, because, you know, they've got pitching. I think they've got pitching issues, but you never know. We'll see. But the thing with Jeff McNeil, So Brett Beatty is going to play second base, I do believe.
An interesting day, his first day at second base.
Well, he did, made a nice play, then made a bad play.
Yeah.
When I ask you about the 2024 Mets, obviously you're going to give me the OMG.
Yeah, Jose Iglesias.
Of course.
Sign him. Let's go get him back in here.
Well, he's in San Diego now, so he can't do that.
Oh, he did sign in San Diego?
Minor league deal when you were away. Minor league deal when you were away.
Oh, I didn't know that when I was away?
Yes. See, you're not paying attention.
Oh, I didn't pay attention to that.
That's amazing.
Oh, that hurts me. I was holding out hope that he was going to end up signing with the Mets?
Nope. Minor league deal with the Padres. Even spoke to the media about it. So, but I think you would agree he was a huge part of the story. If I asked you for one other guy that you thought was a big part of the story down the stretch and then even into the postseason, I'm wondering if we're on the same page here.
Yeah, Jesse Winker.
Okay, yeah, that, but yeah, he had his
Francisco
moments.
Francisco Lindor?
Sure, I was going to go Luis Angel Acuña, though.
Acuña, okay.
Who I thought fit in beautifully, and I think at the age of whatever the hell he is, 21, he's so young, he acted and played like a mature veteran, gave you some pop, played a great infield, and I would think, while I know Brett Beatty has a big upside too, you're moving him from where he was a third baseman, moving him to second base. And I don't want to hear about all these rules with the up and down, minor league, major league. They got enough money. They can deal with all that crap. Why would you not put Acuña at second base?
Yeah, that's a big question. Somebody loves them, some Brett Beatty over there, for sure.
And I know he was a highly rated prospect.
He is, and I think sometimes when you put a guy where he's not comfortable, you end up really hurting your team.
And you could hurt his progression, too.
And you hurt your defense, you hurt your pitching staff, and you already lost your best catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So now there are two positions that are in a state of flux, if you will.
There's no doubt.
When you obviously, now, Acuña may not be a great hitter just yet. He may not be ready for that. But there's got to be a reason why they are trying to do this. Because it would seem that Acuña would be the perfect fit for that.
I think so. And if you want to, like I said, if you want to give me all the service time crap, not interested in the conversation. Because with the Mets ownership now, to me, you should just play the best guys when they're ready. And I thought he, to me, last year played a major part, or a big part in what they did towards the end. Remember in Atlanta? He was great in Atlanta. And you look at the numbers, he gave you some pop. And I also thought some clutch at bats, plays a great field. And I'm not taking anything away from Brett Beatty. Maybe the Mets just need to figure out if Brett Beatty can play or not at this level. Perhaps that's part of it. I just think if you want to get out to a good... I always think back last year, and they wound up going to the NLCS, so they worked through it. But I will never, ever get the image out of my head or the video of Gary, Keith, and Ron at Citi Field in April and talking about, crappy day, no one in the ballpark.
Who's the guy that threw his glove up into the stands?
Oh, the pitcher. Remember was that the pitcher guy? Who then ripped the team and then, yes. then they got rid of him? Right, so you were talking about a team that was like in shambles in April.
Yeah, we were talking about the trade deadline where they were going to trade people like Pete Alonso as opposed to adding people.
Correct.
But I also do remember last year, and I do want to give credit where credit is due. Both Steve Cohen and David Stern said that they believed in the team when the team was not playing mm-hmm. well. And it was easy for I remember sitting here talking about their comments saying, well, they have to say that. But I actually believe now that they truly believe that they had a good team. And it was just going to take time to get it going. And I give them credit for seeing it before we saw it. Because we were here talking about approaching the trade deadline and getting rid of players as opposed to adding players.
Right. And basically not even discussing the Mets anymore because they were a non-factor and were brutal.
And this is why, and just so I could weave a little hockey in here, is that... while the Rangers have been very disappointing, a number of players have had really off years, here they are. They sit within an opportunity to get to that last wild card spot. Now, they're going to end up playing Washington in the first round if they get there. Mm-hmm. And the question is can they play against a team within their division that they're used to playing against?
Yeah, well,
can they steal one?
Here's the thing for the Rangers for me, and I truly believe this. Just get in. And the reason I say that is they have the goalie. If Shesterkin gets on a run, they can do damage. We saw it last year. They've been this has been a strange season because remember early on when they were playing so well, you were like it was fool's gold. You didn't feel great about it.
I didn't.
And I'm sitting there telling you, well, the record is what it is. The points are what they are. And then they hit just a dead spot in the season where they were awful. Well, here they are. It's a good win last night. Just get in. And you've got the goalie tandem.
I know. But the amazing thing is they had lost four in a row, even though they got points in two of those four losses. But
just get in.
This, to go back to the Met discussion, this is like how we felt about, when the trade deadline was happening for the Rangers and they were moving guys around and Chris Drury's making all these decisions. Like last year, David Stearns kind of like was trying to calm the waters, if you remember. And I think that, many people on this station, probably including yours truly, not quite as loud and boisterous as some of the other people on this station. However, still did not believe that that team was going to go as far as it did.
No, and a big part of the conversation on this radio station and written about, too, and maybe finally we can end this conversation is, they've got nine teams they've got to jump over. which is fine. But when you're in June and July and you've got 100 games to go, just take care of your business. And one by one, you can leapfrog over these teams. You know, and the Mets proved it last year.
Every single one of us learned a valuable lesson last year. And that is, don't jump to conclusions too early. And, you know, this team made it all the way to the NL championship.
Yeah, and gave the Dodgers a little bit of run for their money.
Think about that for a second. I mean, this is a team that last year got off to an awful start. Francisco Lindor is always off to an awful start. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's not going to be the case again this year. Hopefully they'll get out to a reasonably good start. You know, I'm not looking for 12-0. You know, give me like an 8-4 start, something like that. And then build from there. But
well, that was my point about.
But I think there's real expectations now, especially with adding Juan Soto. Come on.
Well, there's World Series expectations, and anything short of that is not up to par.
If the Dodgers stay healthy, nobody's beating the Dodgers.
Perhaps, although we have seen the Dodgers have the highest payroll in years past and not win. Matter of fact, the Dodgers don't win often.
But if they stay healthy, they're going to win.
I had a major issue, though. Now, Bridges denied it, or at least Tib said that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I had a major issue with those comments. Good to see Bridges finally starting to show something here in the absence of Brunson knocking down that big shot next to get the win in Portland. But I don't like the idea of a player, especially in his first year, telling the coach he should be going to the bench more often.
And tell the coach in a way that is not condescending to anybody. He's trying to be a teammate. I mean, the one thing I will say about these guys, Hart, Brunson, and Bridges, those guys love each other. You know, and they are all playing well together. You know, he hits a big three last night, late at night. If you didn't see it, it was an overtime victory. It was a scintillating three-point shot. It was perfectly executed by he and Josh Hart. But the point being, from his perspective, Sal, is that, you know, there are guys on the bench that don't really get a chance to play a lot. And all he is saying is that we have a good bench. We have good guys. They can play some more. And maybe he's advocating for them as opposed to trying to protect the older guys that are playing a lot more. And last night, they all played over 40 minutes.
But don't you think that's undermining? Like, I agree with what you're saying. It was
I think that's leader-like. I think it's like embracing the rest of the team.
But he's telling the head coach how to operate.
No, all he's doing is making a suggestion. I don't have any problem with that. He's been around for a long time. He's a quality player. He's a good dude. He got off to a slow start, a little erratic earlier in the season. He plays defense. He plays hard. He hits a big shot last night. His shot has started to come around here in the second half of the season. I have no problem with any of that. I was listening to those guys arguing about it yesterday. I said, there's really nothing to argue about. He's just advocating for, hey, we got a good bench. Let some guys play a little bit more.
Right. I just felt like, and maybe it's because of all the media and fans about Tabs and the minutes, and then you have a new guy, because Bridges, he's been a pro for a while here, but his first year with the Knicks, he hasn't fit in very well. He's been disappointing, and now he is saying...
Wait, you say he's disappointing. I don't say he's disappointing. I think he's been a defensive guy. I think his shot has come around. I thought he was erratic in the beginning, probably trying too hard, a little bit nervous, trying to figure out how to fit in, you know? When you put all these guys together for the first time, they all have to figure each other's role out and how to play with each other. He's not been disappointing for me.
All right, so you tell me, from a former player perspective, a leader yourself, right? A player comes in year one, even if you're good with other players, you have no issue with him going to the head coach in this case, saying that, hey, maybe you should look to give these guys a better opportunity on the bench? You look at that as a good thing?
It would be one thing if it's a rookie. It's another thing if it's a valued vet who's also been teammates with other guys in other places before, especially in college. And quite frankly, I mean, you know, every player on the team that has skin in the game is allowed to say something to the coach. That's just part of it. And I think Tibbs has an open door policy. I think these players like playing for him. They can have matter-of-fact conversations, if in fact this conversation even took place. I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's something happened here where he just said, hey, you know, these other guys can get some more minutes. And I don't think it has anything to do with him saying, we're playing too much.
Right.
I think he's saying, unselfishly, they can play some. And that's what leaders do, man. I think it's a team that really likes each other. I don't know if they're going to go very far just simply because of the Cavaliers and the Celtics. And if they do end up getting to the championship, most likely the Thunder is going to be there. And I think they have trouble against those three teams. We all know that. But maybe with Mitchell Robinson back, their defense will be a little bit better. Well, it has been better. It has been significantly better since he's been back. They're one of the better defensive teams in the league, despite what happened last night and how many points went on. Do you realize the Knicks were 3.5-point favorites last night, and the over-under was 228?
What would it end at right there?
227.
Of course it
God
did.
Dang it.
I mean, they're on top of this.
Once we go into overtime, man, we got to win here.
Yeah. You know the one thing, too, Boomer, and I think you bring up an excellent point. I think the aggregators, sports talk people, they see a quote, right, and don't even give it any thought as to what he's actually saying. And they interpret it their way, and boom, run with it. Like, Bridges is soft. He doesn't want to play this many minutes, and he's asking the head coach. That's not the case. But to me, I still need to see more of an impact from him, at least before he speaks up like that, even if I agree with you that it was more about the bench and less about him. So last night, to me, was a great start. Do you think that without Brunson, this can now open up? I mean, you see Bridges always going nuts after that win.
Well, you would too.
Okay, understood. Yeah. But now can it open up a new, like, when the whole key is Brunson coming back, can Bridges do something similar? Not that he needs to score 35 points every night, but or 33 points every night, but be that impact player with Brunson there on the floor.
Yes, he can. They all can. And again, this is a group of guys that had never played together. You know, not one of these guys is drafted, you know, by the Knicks. These are all mercenary free agents, trades, things of that nature. And it's going to take a while. They're having a great season.
Yeah.
I don't want to diminish anything. Like, I don't know what you want from a team that has been built, rebuilt, and built again by Leon Rose. And they have been an exciting team. They've had a great season. Their frustration and our frustration is that they may not be good enough to play with Cleveland and Boston in the Eastern Conference.
You think they're better than they were a year ago?
I think they are, just simply because Cat is an offensive, you know, he's a juggernaut when he wants it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't see, the one thing I will say about these guys, there's only one guy that really truly controls the game, and that's Jalen Brunson. And, you know, he's the distributor, he's the guy that's going to make everybody better around him. Without him now all of a sudden other guys, OG, and of course, like last night, Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart, these guys have to step up, and Deuce McBride's got to step up. He's got an opportunity now for the next 2 weeks, at least the next 2 weeks, to be the leader of the team on the court, holding on to the ball and distributing the ball. But look, I just think it's a great season. I just don't know if it's going to end in what we would all were hoping that it was going to end in, and that would be a championship, because you got three major teams right standing in their way. Two of them are in the Eastern Conference.
But at least they have a chance. See, last year, I have this argument with BT all the time. He loved last year's team because he loved DiVincenzo, loved Hartenstein. This year's team, to me, is more talented. So I still think all those things that you're talking about, Boomer, are there in front of them. Like, would I bet the Knicks to win the championship? No, but I like their chances this year better than last year, because if they do max out and continue to improve defensively with Mitchell Robinson, with all the talent that they have, who's to say that they couldn't beat the Celtics or the Cavs?
You know, maybe if one of these teams loses a major player like the Knicks did last year. One of the reasons that BT loved that team last year, and we all loved that team last year, is because all the guys that got hurt, Julius Randle got hurt, OG Anunoby got hurt. We had a bunch of guys running around out there about 6'4 or less. You know, showing toughness, which is what we kind of think of ourselves as Knicks fans. We always go back to the 90s. I always go back to the late 60s, early 70s. We were always a tough team when we were good. I would say that, you know, with Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, I do think Mikal and OG Anunoby are tougher guys. They all have to stay healthy. That's it. That's the only thing that's going to be the biggest difference for them this year. If they have six or seven totally healthy guys going into the playoffs, and they can make it through the grind to the playoffs, maybe they have a chance if these other teams lose a player or two, like the Knicks lost last year.
60s and 70s, what was that like?
It was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, you got to remember, like, you know, when the 69 Knicks won, the Jets won, the Mets won, I was a Knicks and a Mets fan. And, you know, that was Walt Frazier, that was Willis Reed, Dave DeBuscher, Bradley. You know, it was Dick Barnett. It was all those great
players. Could you watch those games in color?
Like, no, no. Sorry.
It was black and white?
Like, I think it was Channel 9, Channel 11, whatever.
Wow.
Or you'd listen to the radio, Marv Albert.
Okay, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, we had the Mets with Tom Seaver. And it was an amazing year for New York sports fans.
Yeah.
That's what I remember most. And I was I was 8 and 9 years old at the time.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were still at East Islip shining there. At
No. That was much later. But you know, but that's when you form your fandom. It's right. When you're 8 or 9 years old. And I heard Evan talking about this, that OGN and Hobie at the age of 9 was a Carlos Delgado fan.
Yeah, he's a Mets fan. I saw that the other day.
It's crazy. And so now we all like OGN and Hobie. At least us Mets fans do even more.
Yeah, I like Ad and Hobie too. But nobody, to me, without Brunson. Remember, last year, obviously, as you mentioned, if they lost Brunson, they had no secondary scoring, no other options. Even with Brunson, I was like, man, yeah, without...
But they lost Ananobi. They lost Julius Randle. They lost everybody. And Mitchell Robinson, too,
right,
for that matter.
But this year, not that they can replace Brunson because they cannot, but you could see the other scoring options that they have. Karl Anthony Towns, a clear number one scorer on almost any other team, but with the Knicks, because of Brunson, he could be the number two. And then you look at a guy like Bridges, Boomer. Bridges, to me, is the key. OG is going to do what he does, and I think he's a good player, but he's not going to be a primary scorer like that. Bridges can take over a game.
Well, I mean, you know, he will. Eventually, he will.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, like last night he did.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, remember, too, also, Jalen Brunson got hurt at the end of their series against Indiana.
Right.
Remember, he broke his hand?
Yes,
I think it was. So, they lost four guys in the middle of the playoffs last year. That can happen this year if they want to go deep. And maybe one of these other teams loses a couple guys.
All right, so Daniel Jones is an Indianapolis Colt, or will be sometime after the new league year begins today at 4 o'clock. Got himself a one-year deal, $13 million guaranteed, max value of $17.7 million. And it was among the topics or realities that had our guy Al Dukes all fired up to start the warm-up show this morning, to the point where
I got here early today, and I missed the beginning of the warm-up show.
So this, boy.
Generally, this is audio I've heard. This is fresh audio for me, so I'm excited.
Yeah, now the whole first segment was chock full of Al goodies.
Yeah, he was angry at multiple topics.
Yes.
Rutgers basketball and the interminable season. And
wow.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. He showed up this morning all pissed off.
No. The nobody cares was these two were going over the minutiae of a basketball schedule. It's like, no one cares.
Okay. But to be fair, he did ask about where Jerry was, and that's what led us down that path.
And then all of a sudden, he got angry because no one cares.
That's right. Nobody cares.
Right. Because they were going, like, oh, there's a 10:06 tip-off, and then if there's 11, and then if Rutgers win, there's a 6:09.
Did he snap?
No, he didn't. He came close. He was on the fringe. And then I know better now, so I backed down.
No.
It was too early.
You don't know better. You have to accentuate his snappiness.
Okay. Had I accentuated his snappiness, though, we wouldn't have got this interesting thought from Al, which is what I wanted to bring to the table.
Sports talk. He
went this far to illustrate, I guess I could say it this way, just how little he thinks of Daniel Jones.
If I had to get a first down... That's it. I had to get a first down in the game.
Okay.
And you said, here are your options. It's 2025. You could have Daniel Jones behind a really good offensive line or Boomer Esiason at 63 years old.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you, it's not a straight up Daniel Jones. It's not.
All right. So that's part
Thank
one.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate that. Like, that's very nice.
Yes. Now, I wanted to clarify something.
Well, but then you and I have played football together.
Yeah.
And you know what it's about.
And I've seen Daniel Jones play football.
Get your ass open and catch the ball, even if you're on your knees.
Well, there you go. And that's kind of what he reiterated here.
One play? Well, you got to get a first down. So maybe it takes you three plays.
Okay, so you got one series.
One series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying no to Boomer immediately. Because I know Boomer can't take a hit and Boomer can't run. But my guess is Boomer could get a ball to a wide receiver better than Daniel Jones right now.
There you go. Get open. You'll put
that
it on him.
Awesome, Al. I appreciate
that. Do you agree with him?
No, not really. But I appreciate that, though. It made me feel good this morning.
See, I wouldn't say that about Daniel Jones as much as I would say it about Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I'd probably still say Zach just because he's so young, but that would be my thing where I was like, you know what? I would almost take Boomer over Zach Wilson. I feel like Daniel Jones... running ability maybe could grab that first down if he had to desperately.
So here's my take on Zach Wilson right now as we sit here.
Right now.
All right, so last year he sat there and what did he do? Yes. He watched Sean Payton and Bo Nix, right?
Yeah. I'm laughing at Pat Boyle's touchdown pass reception from you.
Lefty to lefty running the, what was that, like the Philly special there?
Yeah, I ran the Philly special.
That was tremendous.
So anyway, you have Zach Wilson being exposed to Sean Payton and Bo Nix and how a quarterback is going to be treated by a real head coach that knows the position, that's going to get on your ass if you make a mistake, as opposed to like patting you on the back and coddling you.
which is what Mike McDaniel is.
Right. So, but now he goes to Mike McDaniel, and he's going to have a really good offense. He's going to be exposed to yet another great system, and maybe not this year, but maybe next year when he's a little bit older, a little bit more mature, maybe he finds himself in an opportunity where he can resurrect his career. I know you don't think that, but I'm just telling you that there's a possibility, just like Sam Darnold has, just like Baker Mayfield has. I mean, there's a reason why all these guys are on these different teams, but I just think that there's a chance because of who he has been exposed to over the last 2 years, the environments may be more conducive to a productive quarterback. I'm not saying a superstar. I'm just saying a productive quarterback.
That narrative is out there. I don't know if you saw Albert Breer's tweet.
Oh, it's a narrative now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a narrative.
Well, I guess it is, because after the Wilson signing went down, this was Albert Breer quote tweeting Diana Rossini's tweet about him going to Miami. And he wrote, based on what people in Denver were saying about Wilson after the season, I would not dismiss this signing.
But they decided to keep Jared Stidham as their backup over him, let him go.
Probably didn't have the money to pay him.
How much money did he get from Miami?
$6 million.
Yeah, didn't Stidham get 2 for $12, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. Hello?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying that.
I mean, I know you're hoping for failure.
I'm not hoping for failure. I'm just making a point that what we heard out of Denver, they chose the other guy over him to be the backup. So that's just a bunch of BS.
You just never know, man.
Well, he may end up being a productive quarterback in your dream scenario. I'm just saying that what I'm refuting is that what we heard out of Denver. If it was so great in Denver, then sign him instead of Jared Stidham for the same amount of money.
Yeah. Listen, I don't dream about Zach Wilson. All I'm doing is bringing up a possibility, for God's sake.
Once again, I'm not arguing your point.
Okay. Sounds like it. I'm sitting here talking about it.
It doesn't sound like it at all. It's somehow it's in entering your brain a different way. I'm refuting what Diana Rossini said about them loving him in Denver.
Well, no, what Albert Breer said.
Albert Breer said, quote tweeting Diana Rossini about them loving him in Denver.
But you love you some Diana Rossini.
I love when she stirs the pot up with the Jets and gets in there and it's fun, you know?
Yes.
I think it's great.
Okay. MILFs.
See, I mean,
Al Dukes.
All right.
I mean,
let me give you one more Al thing before we move on.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. Another thing bothering him about legal tampering, this new fad where the big shot reporters in their posts to X about the new contract agreements give credit by name to the agents who negotiate them. He doesn't like that.
It's like when John Heyman, like on a Tuesday night, would be like, I have to catch up on credit. Bill Schlopface gave me, was the first to report. No one cares.
Was that Slopface or Schlopface? Okay.
Like, nobody cares.
Can't even believe it.
Exactly.
There was a lot of name calling this morning.
You're kind of right about that. Nobody does care.
Schlopface, he dropped a schmucks according this morning. Losers.
According to Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Schlopface signed with the Bears.
Oh, he called Drew Rosenhaus something, too. Megalomaniac, egomaniac.
There were so many things, and I didn't have time to sift through that whole first segment.
He was mad at Teslas. Oh, yeah. People burning Teslas.
Right, yeah. Everyone wanted electric cars, and now they're setting Teslas on fire. Yeah.
Well, fans certainly do not give a crap about who the agents are.
Yeah.
But I think what happens there is the agents are smart getting these names out there. So other players maybe that aren't getting the deals, like this deal was negotiated by whoever. And then a player may be like, man, my agent can't get this. I'm going to call that guy and be a part of his crew.
His point, though, was like, why are the reporters catering to this as if the agents...
Because they need information.
Yeah, but he's of the opinion that, what are they going to withhold the information because they don't give them credit?
Maybe.
Like, are they really going to put the info out there about their clients?
Could be.
These guys live on breaking these things first.
No, I know that. But there was a time where they were just breaking them without having to mention the agent.
You know, it's amazing. Like, Al should realize this because he's in the media business and there is competition in this business. And for those guys who are the insiders, that's their competition. They get it first, no matter where they get it from. And I understand you're annoyed because they give the agents credit because that's where they're getting the news from, which tells you everything that I've told you, that they get, that's where they get most, almost 90% of it comes from the agents.
But Drew Rosenhaus wants that news out anyway.
Yeah, just because of what Gio just said.
Right, but so he wants Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, the two biggest names, to have it. So I just, at some point there was an explicit, I will give this to you if you put me in your tweet, which is very odd. seems strange.
Again, it's promotion.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's promotion. It's exactly what that is. So if you're, and then these players pay attention. Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday was going over like every contract that the Bears had signed. And he's going, this guy went there, this guy went there, this guy. So all those guys are getting the information the way that we are. So if you're a free agent thinking like, I'm not getting any bites. And then you keep looking up, and that one name I kept seeing yesterday, I never even knew, was like David Muffaletta or something, Mugaletta. Like that guy,
like that signed, agent. Yeah.
Yeah, he signed like 50 contracts. So I'm sitting around and be like, you know, where the hell's my guy?
Is hey, part of
Dum Dum, what's going on?
Is he Mugaletta from CAA?
I'm not sure. I don't know. But someone knows. There's players know. You know, and then the agent calls up. I see 50 deals from Muffaletta, and you're not doing bleep. Let's go. Get out. Do I need to hire Muffaletta?
Yeah, get off your ass and let's go. Yes,
there you go. Exactly. You guys had the Javon Holland to the Giants news during yesterday's show.
We broke that, according to Muffaletta.
Meaning
Muffaletta,
something actually happened while this show was on the air.
Yes.
You know, actual news, so, which is nice. He recently addressed his free agency on the Breaking House Rules podcast, honestly, and actually read aloud criteria he wrote down for what he was looking for from his new team.
Detailed and experienced coaching, a player supportive ownership, just honest culture setting, a men leading head coach with a goal and a standard he holds everybody to. A team that wants to win and has players with like-mindedness about the team's goals and standards. Leaders that want to lead and set examples by action, not by their words.
Does that all sound like the current state of the Giants?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah,
perfect.
I mean, if you had just played that and didn't give us the context, I would have said he's talking about the 2025 New York Giants.
100%.
Check every box.
There you go.
How about the team that pays me the most money?
Well, that's what I mean. Right, exactly. He can write down whatever criteria he wants.
Yeah, as long as they're paying me the money.
There you go.
Yep.
Speaking of paying the money, Joey Bosa to the Bills, 1 year, $12.6 million as he lands in a new home. DeAndre Hopkins to the Ravens on a one-year deal, and the Niners cut another veteran. That was Leonard Floyd, who started all 17 games for them a year ago, and within like an hour, he was a member of the Falcons, or excuse me.
Goes back. To the Falcons.
To be on the Falcons. Was he on the Falcons, or he's a Georgia guy? Isn't that he's going back to
He's going back area? Home. He's going back home.
Right. I don't think he ever played for them yet, though, did he?
I want to say he was a first-round draft pick.
No, I remember that. Was it the Falcons, though? Maybe it was.
Or was it the Bears? I don't remember. By the way, the
Just
NFL,
Google it.
Oh, all right, we will. By the way, the NFL did release the amount of compensatory picks for this.
And we're going to read every single one of them coming up at 7 o'clock. We're going to go through.
I think the important thing is that the Cowboys, Ravens, and Dolphins, and 49ers all have four compensatory picks.
Is that important?
Yes, it is very important.
The Giants got themselves a third round pick for losing Xavier McKinney when they thought it was going to be a fourth.
Well, that's the point. Like when you lose a guy like that, you know, it's not like you're losing him for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to end up getting something back. And because of Xavier McKinney's play, they ended up giving them a third round pick. He's the top 100 pick, I believe.
Didn't want, 99, I believe.
Yeah,
didn't want to pay that safety, but Javon Holland.
But that's a good pick that they ended up getting.
Sure. That's what they can do with it, you know? A little college football related audio for you. Here's West Virginia head coach Rich Rodriguez saying he'll allow his players to continue using TikTok, but no dancing videos allowed.
I mean, they're going to be on it, so I'm not banning them from. I just banning them from dancing on it, you know? It's like, don't look. We try to have a hard edge, whatever, and you're in there, you know, in your tights. You know, dancing on TikTok ain't quite the image of our program that I want.
All right, but down
sissy
the road.
Football. Yeah, we don't ain't sissy football.
Down the road, after you're done playing for us, you have at it. Do whatever you want.
20 years from now, they want to be sitting in their pajamas in the basement, eating Cheetos and watching TikTok or whatever the hell, they can go at it. Smoking cannabis, whatever. I mean, knock yourself out. Wow. But, you know, hope their focus can be on winning football games. You know, how about let's win the football game and not worry about winning
my
the
man's
TikTok.
Speaking the
winning
truth.
The TikTok.
My man's speaking the truth. Right.
I guess cannabis. He really believes in the future of his players there. When all of you guys are in your basement eating Cheetos, smoking weed.
20 years from now.
I mean, Jesus.
Oh, well, maybe they're all, by that time, retired NFL players.
Well, yeah, hopefully for them, I guess.
I didn't realize that dancing on TikTok was, you know, such a distraction for these guys, these college football players.
Yeah, I don't know. I told you what my algorithm gives me. It's not dancing college football players,
right.
I'll tell you that much. I don't know if that's going on, but...
The algorithm thing is fascinating. Like him this morning, Al, everything was Tesla's being lit on fire. Mm-hmm. I had none of that. My feed Boomer's full of hockey highlights.
Yeah, I know.
And Gio, what do you get?
It's boobs, boat, and golf.
Right.
That's what it is every single time.
I mean, that's accurate.
Yeah.
He's a BBG guy.
Yeah.
These algorithms are on top of things. Adam Schein, our pal, taking the Garrett
Boobs,
Cole news.
Boats, and golf. That's what my algorithm gives me.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Well, he's taking the Garrett Cole news hard.
Uh-oh.
On his SiriusXM show yesterday.
Time of death. 7:11 Eastern time last night. It's over. Rest in peace, 2025. New York Yankees. I hate sports. I despise sports. I loathe sports.
Which, as you know, is the opposite of his usual take.
I'm always, you gotta love sports. My New York Yankees. You could have knocked me over in the head with a baseball bat yesterday. I mean, just take an absolute mighty cut to my noggin. That would have felt better than getting the news that Garrett Cole's done for the year.
See,
this sucks.
And I love Adam, you know that.
Of course.
I mean, but he's the ultimate NARP. He's given up on the season already.
I got my NARP
Posse
sweatshirt on.
Come on, man. I see you got your NARP Posse sweatshirt on today, and I appreciate that, but can't give up. Listen, I know we're all doing shows here, and you do what you have to do, but do you think he cares that deeply about the Yankees still? Does he seem to you, like Evan, we know, when something happens with the Mets or the Nets, like he's emotionally affected.
Yeah, because he has to go do his Rico Bronio. What's his net podcast? Does he have one of those?
He doesn't have a net podcast.
No, but doesn't he have like an instant reaction to
something? Probably. Yeah,
it's called If a Tree Falls in the Forest.
Yeah.
That's his podcast. But you see, Schein is one of those guys.
Here's the thing: it's hard for me to tell with Schein because he, I think, presents as if he cares and is passionate about a lot of things relating to sports.
But he's a Yankee fan.
Well, yeah, sure.
He's definitely a Yankee fan.
Yeah. I mean, that's clear based on what he says.
But then again, the season's not over. Let's go. Let's play.
It's not over. It hasn't started.
You got Max Fried.
My God.
Not like you don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Who's not going to pitch opening day because they don't want to knock him off his schedule, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes,
we'll get
one
some,
effing day.
Yeah, I know.
It's one day.
It's the pitching lab theory.
One day!
One day, and it's still weeks away.
I know!
Make the adjustment there.
That didn't happen like
adjustment?
Yeah. I'm saying, you have time. It's not like we're starting the season in a couple of days, we're going to bump him up.
With all the goddamn injuries that these pitchers have, do these schedules actually work?
No.
No!
No.
Mm-hmm. None of it works.
Yeah. Will you guys have any interest in hearing from Brian Cashman next hour or no? I know you don't like Aaron Boone. You want to hear from Cashman? He did speak yesterday.
I do. Yeah, we'll do that next. Yeah, we'll do that
awesome.
Later.
The Nets almost beat the Cavs, but they didn't. 109-104. Their second 15-game winning streak of the season. Rangers lost in Winnipeg 2-1. The Islanders lost to the Kings 4-1, and the Devils beat a Columbus team that smoked the Rangers the other night 5-3.
Yeah, well,
so I was thinking the Devils were going to come back to the pack
left.
And now they're winning all kinds of games.
Go 12-5. Maybe you make the playoffs.
Okay, great.
All right, very good. We'll see you
next. Suck, suck, suck. Suck, suck, suck. You suck.